Disclaimer, this is a spoiler-filled episode. Welcome back, everybody, to the Cave of Solitude, podcasting from the megacity metropolis of Toronto. I am your host, Eric Anthony, and back in the cave, finally, like I promised, is my very good friend, my wife, everyone's favorite co-host. Stand and state your name and where you're from.
Lady J from the Team Dalt.
Lady J, Daff J, you may know her as DJ Symphony. She's got a bunch of different names. But today, the time has finally come where we are going to discuss the movie that perhaps me and Daff J have been waiting to watch. Is it safe to say our entire life?
Yeah.
Is this the one movie?
This is the one.
Yeah. I can say from the age of 4 or 5, I didn't even think that this could be possible back then. But in the world we live in today, where every other week there's something new superhero, like, how many television shows are there that are comic book related now? 4 or 5, just on regular cable. Mm-hmm. Then you got the Netflix shows. And then every 2 months in the theaters, we've got a new comic book title coming out. So finally, the one we've been waiting for has been released. Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice. Everybody's talking about it, reacting to it. You're going to get our review. Now, let's get right into it, Daff J. Let's give them the synopsis. Do you want to read it? The synopsis for people?
Oh, I'm in practice.
It's okay. Just get right into it. You know what's going on.
Okay. Oh, no. Words I don't know about. Okay. Here we go. Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice. It's been nearly 2 years since Superman's colossal battle with Zod devastated the city of Metropolis. The loss of life and collateral damage left many feeling angry and helpless, including crime-fighting billionaire Bruce Wayne. Convinced that Superman is now a threat to humanity, Batman embarks on a personal vendetta to end his reign on Earth, while the conniving Lex Luthor launches his own crusade against the Man of Steel.
Very well done. You didn't even practice. No takes. Awesome. So, there's your synopsis. Everybody kind of knew going in what this was going to be about. Obviously, Batman and Superman are going to come to fisticuffs, if you will. Directed by Zack Snyder with a budget of $250 million. Released on March 25th. Now, when we initially saw the movie, our little premiere, early premiere, we went Thursday night together to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a little date night. Went to the VIP, no kids, no crying, just us adults.
No lineups, reserved seats.
No lineups, reserved
seats. It's the way to go.
It is. Civil War, we're coming.
Yeah.
We had a lot to say leaving that theater. In fact, we even may have possibly done a podcast episode immediately after coming home at 12:30 in the morning to talk about everything we felt. Maybe we'll release these simultaneously so people can decide which one they want, the emotional Daff J and Eric Anthony, or the slightly toned down, thought processed, allowing ourselves to digest the movie and to get a more clear, concise idea of what we thought about it. So, let's get into it. Batman v Superman. Initially, the casting. Everybody, especially you in my life, were all up in arms about the casting of this movie, and we're already wanting to boycott, and what did you say? You're going to sign onto some petition?
Yeah. I was putting up an online petition to get Batfleck out of there. It was a very difficult pill to swallow when it was first revealed mm-hmm. that Ben Affleck was going to take on the mantle of the Batman.
Mm-hmm.
I am very happy and humbled that I was wrong. I thought the portrayal of his Bruce Wayne was, dare I say, masterful. He just fit the...
I like that. Give me a pound. I like that. Good.
He embodied the character. The physicality of him also was on point. He looked sharp. He looked... And I really appreciated being able to see Bruce Wayne in action. When... And there's going to be spoilers, folks. So
That's gonna, don't worry. We've announced it at the beginning of this episode. It's a spoiler-filled review.
So, seeing him be heroic without the cowl and cape, I really do like that about this movie. Because you get, I feel like when you get to see Bruce do that, although he, obviously he is Bruce Wayne, he, I feel like he's more Batman than he is Bruce.
You get to see the real Batman.
Exactly, exactly. Right. And you get to see past the mask, the mind that's behind, the genius mind that's behind all of this.
Okay.
So, yeah, I really like that.
How about Wonder Woman? Before we get too deep into, like, everything we liked about
Wonder Woman, loved it.
Yes.
She was great.
Thumbs up.
Thumbs
for Gal, way Gal Gadot, up. Gal Gadot.
I like Gadot.
Okay.
I don't know, maybe she says it differently.
I don't know.
It sounds sexy, Gadot.
Gadot.
She's beautiful. She's beautiful, but not beautiful, like, just sexified. Mm. I thought when she did, even just being Diana Prince, she just looked very...
regal?
Striking. Striking. Very striking. It wasn't, like, sexy. Like, obviously, she's a gorgeous woman.
Right, right.
But, again, like, Wonder Woman or Diana Prince, it's beyond her... she doesn't want to be looked as this damsel in distress. She is a powerful, respected woman.
Right.
And I got that aura.
Do you think she was too small? Did you want her to be bigger?
I did. I did want her to be bigger because, especially in the comics, she's, you know, if not bigger than Superman or kind of out, she's taller than him. She can go toe to toe with him.
Yeah, and by rights, I mean, we can nitpick and find all of these, that's not like the comic books, that's not right, da 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 da.
But the
physicality of an Amazon, where you see, she's got, like, I see a 6-foot woman, when I see a woman taller than me, I'm like, that's an Amazon. Because she's 6'1", 6'2", she's taller than some of my friends who are also taller than me, like, I gotta be intimidated by this woman. And not that she can't be beautiful or that she has to be masculine, but there's got to be something about her that is like, whoa,
Amazon. And all that being said, I mean, some things are going to be a little bit different. And that this was something that I was like, yeah, that could
it work. Worked. It worked. Yeah. When she shows up in the film, I was impressed by her physicality as well. I'll agree with you. One of the things I did like was that Ben Affleck nailed Bruce Wayne and Batman, the physicality of it, the way he walked, his presence in a room, the way he interacted with people.
Mm-hmm.
He changed his personality from person to person, depending on who he was talking to, which I liked. I really liked the opening sequence. Let's get right into that opening sequence of the movie where they show the destruction in Metropolis and how onlookers who weren't maybe in the center of these buildings collapsing, but were, you know, like they were running away. You saw Bruce Wayne land his helicopter onto Metropolis and do his Batman thing, like you were saying. I thought that was brilliant. Like, I was totally invested. I had, like, I don't know, the excitement in me at that point in time was so built up, and I'm like, this is going to be great.
Yeah, I really liked how they were very consistent with the movie Man of Steel.
Yes.
Where even the experiencing and the sounds of the Man of Steel movie when the ships are attacking the city.
Yeah.
And you hear the...
Yeah.
Like, all of that...
That was good.
It was like seeing Zod and Superman, or at least these blurbs of something... seeing the fight from a different angle.
Yes.
And then it also, I guess, gave you the opportunity to experience why Superman's presence or his being, being there, being on this world is going to be a problem. Like, you kind of changed, like, from his angle, and this, okay, I'm kind of thinking about that, when we went to Comic-Con and we went to a panel, and the artist, I forget his name.
Ty Templeton.
Yes. Yeah. He gave us a whole lecture and presentation on perspective and angles. And
yes.
How, by a different point of view, you can look at the story from two different opinions or perspectives.
Yes.
So when you're watching Man of Steel, you're like, yes, Superman has got to take him down. But when you're watching it in this movie, it's like, oh my goodness, this is a disaster, and
right.
You know, there's havoc and chaos, and people are in rubbles and getting caught in the disaster.
Right.
So you kind of understand why this is a global. You understand the global issue that's
right.
at hand.
Why people would be concerned
right.
or in fear of
right.
yes,
you're not biased anymore.
Right.
Now there's the wheels are turning. The audience is now looking at things from a different angle.
Yeah, I thought that was really well done, and it made me care or consider how Batman was going to approach it. I mean, we knew that the trailer of this movie was, I think, pretty poorly done in the way that it showed too much of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Having seen it, now I see that they showed me too much already, but it did make me care. It made me invested in it. I really like the costumes designs.
Yeah.
I thought Batman's costume was great.
On point.
It was on point. It was straight out of a comic book, very Jim Lee, Frank Miller-esque, which was good, and I guess they were going for that look because it was very Dark Knight Returns inspired. Wonder Woman's costume was good as well. I mean, I've hated on Man of Steel. For the record, I love Man of Steel as a movie. I don't have as many qualms as many people do with certain things that happened in it. I'm not one of those, oh, that's not Superman. I like that movie. Have some issues with it, but I didn't like how dark they made Superman's suit. I like him to be bright, and I was kind of concerned that Wonder Woman was going to suffer that as well, because she's also very
bright
and lively,
mm-hmm.
but she looked good.
Mm-hmm.
I was happy with what I saw. And her theme music, Wonder Woman's theme music.
It was so cool.
Oh, man. I was totally, rose out of my seat, ready to, yeah, I want to just see her fight. I don't care about the other two guys at this point. Let her just take it on. And the dream sequences got me really excited because it showed the possibility of Darkseid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Coming in the Justice League movies, which got me really excited because I love the Jack Kirby fourth world. I've been reading a lot of that lately. You saw my Orion
mm-hmm.
omnibus, and I just love when they go to Apocalypse because it's such a devastating dark place where you wonder, how are these guys going to survive? Like, the stakes are so high. So seeing the parademons and the Omega symbol and Batman in that somewhat of a dystopian future, I was just like, this looks wicked.
Mm-hmm.
And I was
mm-hmm.
happy it was a dream sequence. And then they even showed a little bit of a glimpse of the Flash in some sort of speed force trying to communicate. And that's a Crisis on Infinite Earths tip of the hat. So they're really trying to set up and go all sorts of different places here. So those were some of the cool things that I did like about the movie. I thought visually, the fight sequences were really cool. A lot of shots were iconic. Like when you first see Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman together, you're
mm-hmm.
like, whoa, that's awesome.
Yeah.
It's a great shot. Seeing Batman train, the training montage. What did you think of Alfred?
I liked Alfred a lot.
Yes, Jeremy Irons I thought was great.
I liked the take that they took on him. I guess it's a little bit of a new 52 Alfred, where, you know, he has training and has some kind of, knowledge
mm-hmm.
of stuff. He's not just, here's a pot of tea, go get some sleep.
Like,
he seemed very useful and resourceful.
Hands-on.
And I kind of like that he was a little bit snarky with Bruce.
And he should be. Alfred always hits Bruce with those little lines whatever.
Yeah.
Puts him in his place in a very subtle way.
And it's true, you're right. It he has done that in the past, but there was a little bit of a, an edge to him in this one, and I really liked it. I mean, Bruce Wayne brought him a cup of coffee. I've never seen that before.
Yeah, this was kind of, it reminded me of the Geoff Johns Earth One version of Alfred, where he was possibly a bodyguard
mm-hmm.
of the Wayne family, where he had some experience in hand-to-hand combat and military combat. He had mechanic expertise. Like, he was tinkering with the Batmobile. He was working with the mic modulator. I thought that was great that they made Batman not...
It's about time.
They gave him... I always think, though, what would have been awesome is if his voice modulator was the Batman animated series voice. How perfect would that be?
Yeah, kind of cool.
I don't think anybody would have had a complaint with that. if he put on the mask and you heard Kevin Conroy's Batman voice, forget about it. Popcorn in the air. So I really liked Batman and Alfred in this movie. I thought that was... I liked the way that the Wayne Manor looked. I liked the way the Batcave was set up. It wasn't as cavernous necessarily, but it was very technical. It was very operational. You saw the costumes in, you know, the Robin costume and case honoring whichever Robin it was that had died. That was neat. And I loved seeing Batman battle. When you finally get to see him take on that room of thugs, that was one of the most spot-on Batman battle sequences I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I really, really liked that. Because it was a combination of using his tech, his fighting skills, and he was a little vicious, which he should be. Which I thought they got spot-on. Now, this movie's been getting a lot of... Okay, for lack of a better term, critics are taking a big pile of cow dung and just throwing it on this movie. They're hating it. It's gotten an aggregate score of 31% at Rotten Tomatoes, which isn't saying it gets a 3 out of or a 30 out of 100. It's just the majority of reviews are at a 50% mark or less. So the it's a lot more on the negative side than on the positive side. So 31% is a lot of negativity being thrown at this movie. This show is called The Cave of Solitude. So naturally, it's heavily inspired by Superman and Batman. And both of us are, anyone who knows us knows that we are huge fans of these characters. Dare I say they're probably my favorite things outside of like my real people in my life. That people know me as being a Superman, Batman guy. And I mean, you are... I don't think I've met a girl who likes Batman as much as you. I'm sure they're out there, but you are a legitimate Batman fan. Not because of me liking this stuff. That's just your thing. Is that safe to say?
That is secure.
So I wanna approach this as unbiasedly as possible. I don't want to just be fanboyish and love this movie even though the critics hate it. And be singing its praises. So we've given you some of the pros that we liked about this movie. Let's give them some cons. Do you have any problems or cons with this movie?
Okay. Can I just say?
Say it.
Okay. Before I get into heavily into cons.
Yes.
There is a con that I've heard of from other people. And I agree to a certain extent. I heard someone say that the origin of Batman in this movie is unnecessary and overly done. We know the origin of Batman and there was no reason for it to be explained again. I have to say that part of the movie I really, really enjoyed. As tragic as Bruce Wayne's story is, I think in this movie it was the most... poetic the way it was done with the family. You know, his dad didn't go down a punk.
Right.
Like, you saw when you saw his fist.
Yeah.
You know, when his hand turned into a fist, he was ready to defend his family.
Right.
When you saw the gun get tangled in Martha's necklace, I've never seen that before.
Frightening.
It was, yeah, it
very
was
frightening.
A completely different take on just the typical, give me your wallet, give me the necklace, and reach for her, and that's it. That's how everything happens. I like Chris Nolan's take on it, too, because his dad was like, don't be afraid. But in this one, you also got to see how, not that it wasn't ever known or explained, but how much Thomas loved his wife and him knowing that everything that they had was... now slipping through his hands.
Yeah.
So, I thought it was it necessary? Probably not, because it's a story that everybody knows, but it was well done.
And as we get into more detail of this movie, there's a portion of what happens in that very poetic scene of the tragedy of the Wayne family that is very useful later on. That you just needed to have that scene done, as poetic and beautiful as you described it to be, even though parents are getting killed.
Mm-hmm. I know, it's terrible.
No, I know, but it's done in a way with no words. It's just a couple, it's very, the imagery of it is very impactful. But there's one thing that Thomas Wayne does say that is imperative to the entire movie. Mm-hmm. We're going to get into that. So, overall, what'd you think of this movie, Daft J?
Overall, I love the first half of the movie.
Where there's no superheroes in it for about an hour and a half.
And then, it's for me personally, it was disappointing.
We're going to get into the cons, but I'm just going to come out and say now, because people have been asking me, texting me, and if anybody who does, any of my friends who do listen to this show, this will be probably the one show that I don't want to hear what he has to say. I'm insulted. Okay, this movie was insulting to me. As much as it was visually cool, it was disappointing. I'm very disappointed with Warner Brothers and DC. Why do you say? Let's get into it. So, first and foremost, this is a nitpick, but you brought it to my attention, but it's a nitpick. In order to progress the story, they needed to have dream sequences. I've never known Bruce Wayne to sleep this much.
Oh my goodness.
And a dream within a dream within a dream. We're watching Inception here. In order to have him react to Superman, he has to dream about him constantly.
He's always told to take a nap. This guy had no qualms about taking
He sleeps when a he's snooze. When he's hurt. Because he's been knocked out. And I'm not saying Bruce Wayne doesn't sleep. Obviously, he sleeps. But to use that as a story mechanism in this movie was a little bit ridiculous. And it was done more than once. Mm-hmm. So, for one, that bothered me. That's a nitpick. The one person I didn't comment on in the casting, which I really liked for the most part, was Jesse Eisenberg as Lex Luthor. I grew up, obviously, a big, huge Superman fan. I love the Christopher Reeves original movie, even the bad ones. That's because I was a kid. I loved them. Superman the movie is still, to me, the hallmark of what a superhero movie should be, because you watch it and you feel happy. When you see your hero come across the screen, you're like, oh, good. The guy that's going to protect us is here. Gene Hackman was a version of Lex Luthor. Later on, Kevin Spacey. You've had the guy on Smallville. His name is escaping me. I'm going to regret it, but if someone wants to correct me, feel free to write an email. He was a good Lex Luthor. Why were they good Lex Luthors, all of these different people? Well, because they didn't act like an idiot. They were bad guys, but Jesse Eisenberg was apparently related to the Riddler because he looked like Edward Nygma. He acted like Edward Nygma.
Spoke in riddles like Edward Nygma.
And he loved asking a lot of questions that people weren't figuring out what the heck he was talking about. And you want to do a different take? That's fine. But you want to know what? This isn't the Joker. You can take different actors who have a different approach to playing a psychotic serial killer who finds humor in killing people and causing chaos. That's the Joker. So if you want to have Jack Nicholson be the scenery chewing Joker who dresses in all the purple and is straight out of a comic book, you could do that. You want to do Heath Ledger Joker, who's a heroin addict and looks like he's straight out of a punk rock age of chaos, you can do that. At the end, he laughed. He was frightening. And he was vicious, but he thought it was all a big joke. You can do that with a Joker. You can't do that so much with Lex Luthor.
The thing that was really disappointing about this is because Lex is known to be... It's not obvious that he's an enemy. And that's his power. That his influence, his manipulation, that's his power. And I felt that he was giving it all away with his zany, idiotic, crazy, and Lex isn't like that. Lex is nuts, but no one understands why him and Superman have it in for each other, because The only person that can see past that is Clark Kent or Superman.
Right.
And that's why it's always been a challenge to be able to prove that to people. He's more of a Donald Trump, I guess we would say, where, you know, super, you know, billionaire, powerful, influential. Not everybody likes him, but they can't help but love him, kind of thing. Like, they love seeing his crazy, like, nobody agrees with what this man is talking about, but they can't stop looking at him. They can't stop talking about him. And that is what Lex Luthor is. And he has this hidden agenda that he's not just giving it away like candy. And I felt it was very unnecessary and stupid.
Yes, it was extremely... Well, what's his motive? What's he trying to accomplish?
That was the other thing I had. I didn't even know what his problem was. I didn't know what his...
He's trying to take out Superman, but his way of going about it was so... Like, I get, okay, he wanted the government to make Superman into a villain, and he went out of his way to do that in a lot of the movie by making Superman go up against the council to make him answer for some sort of crimes against humanity by endangering people and not having to answer for it. And then he blows up the entire Senate and frames, makes it seem as though Superman had a temper tantrum.
Yeah, I feel like there was just an inconsistency in his character. It was like he was just a social climber. Then he hates God, and then he wants to be like God, so he creates Doomsday.
I thought that was actually pretty creative, how he took the technology and took the fingerprints off his... Like, I thought that kind of stuff was like, okay, that's a cool way to...
Yeah, but I don't understand how all of a sudden when he got into the ship, he had, like, complete control of it. And all of a sudden, like...
Because he had the ID, Zod's ID on his fingerprints.
Not at first.
He did. He went in there with fingerprints of Zod on his hands. That's why he sliced them all off of Zod's hand.
That was... No, I thought that was kind of stupid. I didn't understand. All of a sudden, he has control of the ship, and the ship's like, hey, welcome. Do you want to control? Do you want to, you know, just take over everything? Sure, absolutely. Oh, but this hasn't been done for years because it was a bad idea. Overrule. Okay, like, I didn't understand.
Yeah, that
like,
was very stupid. That was very stupid. The thing with Lex Luthor, I didn't want him to be the Gene Hackman Lex Luthor who's just out for real estate. That's done and over with. But you made up a good point. Lex Luthor is a genius. He's a scientific genius, but he doesn't necessarily have to make everyone know that he's a scientific genius, but he is a billionaire. He is a tycoon. He's a guy who owns Metropolis, and Metropolis loves him because he gives it economic strength. He's a philanthropist. He seems to have the people's best interests at heart. So to me, I don't think you needed to spend more time on focusing on why people hated Man of Steel. It was very reactionary to Superman destroyed Metropolis. He didn't destroy Metropolis. What could have simply happened in the movie was that Lex Luthor is the one who is out to get Superman, to create a xenophobia against this guy who thinks he can protect the people and is making humanity feel as though they can't take care of themselves. So Metropolis is being influenced quite a bit by Lex Luthor, who would have been the one to lose the most in the Battle of Metropolis. The planet is saved, right? This guy was ultimately a hero. Yes, lives were lost, but the entire planet was going to be destroyed. So if you just change the focus slightly and make it be like, well, as much as there was collateral damage and it was horrible, he did save humanity as a race. Whereas Lex Luthor could be the one waving all of the flags and saying, this guy is a threat.
Well, and the timing that they chose to kill Superman. Everything that you just said. And then finally, they decide to blow him up with a missile. Right when that's him re-earning our trust or humanity's trust. He's trying to take out... Do you know what I'm...
Oh, you're jumping ahead a little bit.
Jumping ahead. I have so much to say and I don't even know where to begin. But, like exactly what you were saying, I didn't understand the plot of the story in which... Or people's take. You know, there was people that hated him, people that loved him, people that were confused or conflicted.
Yeah.
And then the moment that he shows his true colors, if you will, to humanity, where he's trying to take out Doomsday so that the human race survives, that's when they decide to take him out.
Yeah, and
not understanding that concept. I felt like the story was, I don't know.
No, it was done. A lot of things were being done for the sake of setting things up, to show things, to set things up for the next movie, to allow there to be a big battle sequence.
I think people need to stop trying to figure out how to move on to the next thing before you gotta concentrate on the now. Stop worrying about trying to set up for the next thing coming, because you're botching what's happening right
now. Well, yeah, Warner Brothers, I'm gonna get into this later. Let me continue with some of the things I have with the movie. Batman's beef with Superman and their ultimate showdown is visually amazing. Like, that fight was incredible. If you want to go see Batman and Superman fight and you're not sure if it's in this movie, it's definitely in this movie. Like, they deliver on the title of Batman versus Superman. But there isn't any real reason for them to hate each other the way that they do. Or neither of them even knows how the other feels. There's no build-up to that other than one slight scene of him running into Superman with his car and saying, the next time, you know, be ready. I'm going to take you out. You're going to bleed. Luther's pulling strings behind the scenes to get mm-hmm. them to fight, mm-hmm. right? Which is, one, how does Luther know who to be sending these things to? That's never explained. He just happens to know that Clark Kent is Superman, and he happens to know that Bruce Wayne is Batman, which is, you know, should be two of the best kept secrets within the DC universe. Especially Batman.
Well, I have an issue with the fact that Batman is so gullible to fall for this to begin with.
Yeah, exactly.
We're talking about the greatest detective who ever lived. Like, the man that any step he makes is calculated.
Yeah.
And he's informed and educated with what he's about to do next. And yet,
here's a guy who's dedicated his life to justice and making sure that nobody suffers the pain that he went through. That's why he does what he does. It's an obsessive thing that he wants to protect people in his city and to right any wrongs. But this movie, it's almost like the writers and Zack Snyder want to present this edginess and dark tone where, okay, fine, Batman is dark and you could do that, but it's very... Have you only read one Batman comic? Have you only read Frank Miller's Batman, Dark Knight? There's 75 years worth of these characters, and I'm not saying that you've got to be exactly what the comic book is. No. You want to make Batman have a different costume? Make him have a different costume. But there's certain hallmarks of these characters that you have to stay true to, because that's what makes them who they are.
I know. And one of the things that you should stay true to, especially in Batman's case, is the way his mind works. It seemed as though he was too stupid to figure out that Lex Luthor was manipulating him and causing him to, I guess, do his dirty work for him. Like, no, that would not happen. And if that were the case, he wouldn't be where he is now. He wouldn't be known for, like I said, everything he ever does is calculated. He doesn't make.
And when you don't stay true to certain hallmarks of the character, for instance, Batman, his biggest fault possibly is that he doesn't kill the Joker. Everyone's saying, like, can you just kill him already? Because you're doing us more damage by keeping him alive, thinking there's hope for him. And he says, I do not go that route. This movie, he flat out says, this will be my legacy. And he is more than ready to put a kryptonite spear through Superman's heart with his foot in his face. And I don't know about you, maybe in an Elseworld version of the comics, and yes, I keep bringing up the comics because that's why these characters exist.
Exactly.
But Batman does not kill. That is never going to be his legacy. That's not what he...
I also had a... Sorry to interrupt you.
No, go ahead.
You're talking truth here.
Go ahead.
It really is. But I, like you said, staying true to the character, I don't even... I had a hard time even seeing him hold a gun. Or things that look like a gun. Like him with these, like, rifle thing. And, like, I would never... Batman does not like guns.
But see,
and I don't care if it was, if it had something else, if it was a different type of weapon, if it was some kind of, I don't know, rapple kind of thing. Is that even a word?
Grappler?
The grappler. I don't care. He does not like guns because that is the thing that took down his parents. We know this. That is not his weapon of choice. He is a genius. He comes up with different. I had a problem with that.
Well,
I had an issue with that. I didn't like
because
it.
They're taking... This Batman is the Frank Miller version of Batman. He does have the tank in Batman Dark Knight Returns that shoots the rubber bullets. He does have the rifle-looking grappling gun.
Yeah, when he's fighting these monstrosities. But when he's just fighting just a regular Joe Schmo on the street, that's not what he does.
He does use EMP. That is an EMP pulse gun. That is legitimate. He has used that,
yes,
which is it.
I know, but that is not what he is known for. And if you're going to introduce a new Batman in this universe that is going to have a relationship with a person like Superman who has morals, who was, it was established in the beginning that in Man of Steel, although he was left with no choice but to kill Zod, but it killed him to have to do it. Like, that's not... You're not going to develop a relationship with this person who has a different perspective than you.
No, but they don't address that. They don't even let him have a conversation. Because apparently, Clark Kent is too stupid of a reporter to know who Bruce Wayne is. The most...
Even though Bruce Wayne owns the Daily Planet?
Possibly owns the Daily Planet. That's never addressed.
I don't even know.
Batman...
I feel like this conversation right now is like a mirror image of what the movie is about. Like, it's just all over the place.
Well, no, we're getting into the relationship Batman's beef with Superman. We're still on that point of how it doesn't make any sense.
That's what I'm saying. I feel a loss for words.
It makes sense. We touched on the fact that he saw all of the destruction and chaos in Metropolis and how it affected his employees and nobody cared for the loss of life. That makes sense. But how he approaches it is what doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it's like he's blinded.
He's blinded by a rage. He's allowing somebody else to pull his strings behind him. And he's ready to kill Superman, which is not true to Batman's character. See, there was a time about 70 plus years worth of Batman and Superman being friends. And they're known as the world's finest, and that's why they're popular. Yes, they have had fights, but a way that you can have a Superman-Batman fight is at the end of the movie, after you establish some sort of a relationship with Clark and Bruce to make them really realize what their moral codes are, to have an admiration for each other so that when they team up, it means something. At the end of the movie, perhaps, just perhaps, you get Lex Luthor who poisons Superman and does make him a danger to the world because now he has him under his control. And perhaps, I don't know, this has only been done numbers of times in the comics and cartoons and every form of literature that Batman and Superman exist in, Superman says to Bruce, because I trust you, I need you to put me down. So here's a piece of something that weakens me. They could have gone about that way somehow. I don't know, maybe. It's only been done in hour-long cartoons that told a much more cohesive story. What do you think about that, Daph J? Would that have made sense to Batman v. Superman? That you root for Batman because Superman isn't in under the influence of Lex Luthor? He is a threat? I don't know. Just an idea. You know what I was missing in Man of Steel that I really wanted to see a little more of was...
A storyline?
No, Man of Steel. Man of Steel
had a storyline. Oh, sorry, Man of Steel. I'm still kind of burning about that. Like I said, I think there's an inconsistency in a lot of this movie, and I know you want to move on, but I'm still stuck on the point that there's... I don't even understand why Superman was blamed for the massacre in Africa. That storyline that was brought up.
Because he showed up and then all these people died and then there was a lady that was there who said nobody cared. He didn't even care. We were all scared of him and it was his fault that it all happened because Lois Lane was there. Really stupid. Maybe I'm missing a point. If I'm missing a point, feel free. caveofsolitude@outlook.com. Jimmy Olsen was missing in The Man of Steel. I really like Jimmy Olsen. He's one of my favorite characters in the Superman canon because it's Superman's friend. It's his buddy. It was his best man at his wedding.
But wait a minute. I thought I saw Jimmy Olsen because there was someone with Lois Lane in the desert.
In Africa.
And because, you know, he had a camera. And then the camera was confiscated from the guy. And then, you know, the film was getting destroyed and he was getting really emotional because the film was getting destroyed. And then all of a sudden, he was at gunpoint, and then he's like, no, it's okay, Miss Lane, I'm CIA, or whatever kind of situation this was.
Yeah.
And then, like, bullet to the head. I was like, oh, CIA operation went
His
awry.
Head was blown off, right?
Yeah, just completely, this operation went
So that wasn't Jimmy Olsen.
It
couldn't have been, because Jimmy Olsen is Superman's friend. He worked at the Daily Planet, and he's an integral part to that whole world that they live in. But guess what? It was Jimmy Olsen. 5 minutes into the movie, they blow his head off.
And how do we know this?
Because Zack Snyder said he just wanted to, you know, sneak him in there for the sake of sneaking him in there, but get rid of him because he's not going to have a part to play in anything else. Why put him in? And if Jimmy Olsen dies by getting his head blown off with Miss Lane, Clark Kent doesn't care. He just comes back home and visits Lois in a tub of water and brings her flowers and isn't sad about the fact that Jimmy Olsen is dead. Oh, but we haven't allowed any story to be told for that to matter. Thank you very much.
No, because that would make too much sense. Have you seen my hair clip?
No, I haven't. It's kind of like the plot in Batman v Superman. It can't be found. So Clark Kent is set up as this false god, this necessary evil, or a hero that everybody loves, but he doesn't seem to enjoy being Superman. He's really mopey. He's sad all the time. He does this. He has that little furrow. If you could see me right now, I'm doing that little furrow in my eyes where he's always about to cry. But that's not what Superman does or represents. Superman represents hope. He's happy to help people. People are excited to see him come and help them because he's going to protect them. Do some people view him as a god? Yes. In the comic book, there's a cult of Superman who think he's a god, but it's a very small group of people. It's not either or, right? He's either the false god or the god. No, he isn't that. And I'm sick and tired of them presenting either those two options. And here's a guy who loves to be able to help people, but looks absolutely miserable through the whole movie doing it.
As if it's a burden to him.
Yes.
And questioning whether or not he should do it. But he was raised with the morals of being able to not take advantage of his powers and be there for those that don't have it.
Right. But
and
in
yet
this,
he's...
This family tells him, you don't know anybody anything. Screw them all. If they gotta die, they gotta die. Apparently that's what they're sticking with that. They're not expanding on saying, like, you have to help people because you're able to. That's how we raised you, Clark. There's nothing wrong with being true to the character that everybody has read about for 75 years. There's nothing wrong with that, I don't think. I kind of like that. Unless it's an Elseworlds story. But in this case, it's the DC universe that we're all supposed to accept. Yeah, he likes helping as many people as possible. What hurts him is that he can't. That's what hurts him, when he realizes, I can't stop people from dying. My own father had a heart attack. I can't stop that from dying. In this iteration, he could have saved his father's life, but he was too stupid to do that. But that's okay. Like I said before, stop reacting solely to the Man of Steel. Lex Luthor should be the one behind... And he was in this movie, but he should be publicly the one as a businessman, as a tycoon, as a person who has business interest in what was lost. That should be his angle, to make people realize, hey, this guy is corrupting our world. See, the way to present Lex Luthor is to make him seem completely legitimate, to make him seem like he's faultless. Only you as the viewer might see that he's Snake, but the populace should be like, this guy is as much of a Superman to us because of the advancements that his enterprises have done for mankind. Lex Luthor has our best interests at heart, and he should. That's why he hates Superman, because he's taking away his glory, not because his daddy beat him and he doesn't like people who are powerful. Stupid. create relationships that make sense.
Yeah, I honestly, I didn't buy the love story between him and Lois Lane. It wasn't organic. I didn't find it to be.
They just moved in together.
I didn't buy it. That's all I have to say about that.
So, again,
it can't be perfect. You're
right.
It's an escape and whatever. I just think that there was just too many. It was too disjointed and there was too many misses. I'm not exactly sure how the Daily Planet is a functioning business when Perry White only wants to have Clark Kent write about football and disregard the Batman story. I think that holds more weight than a stupid football game. Like, what kind of... This is what I mean. Like, things that make the stories that we read... For it to hold weight, I think a lot of it was just disregarded.
And again, we're going to take this with a grain of salt. We realize this is science fiction, comic book movies. It's
first world. Are you sure? Because you've been on a...
I'm on a rampage, yes. Of course. But the reason being is because, as people, storytelling is what has been one of the most important factors of history. We enjoy stories. We invest emotionally in stories. As much as they're fake, our entire lives are about telling each other stories. And these ones here specifically have our modern mythology. And you can tell such a good and powerful story, especially when people have been waiting for it for so long. But to turn it into a Transformers movie that's nonsensical and just a hot mess of awesome special effects that misses how good something could be, it's almost like, because Star Wars is so beloved and they can make a mint off of it, which this movie will make a ton of money, unfortunately, because they're going to make more like this, it's like them saying, you know what? We're just going to do anything we want in Star Wars, and we're going to make Jar Jar Binks come back, and he'll be a villain, just for the sake of it. It's like, no, don't do things that you don't need to do. There's tons of story that have been set up that can be explored. But in this case...
I think in this case, there was too many stories they were trying to mishmash together.
Right.
There was the Dark Knight story. There's the Death of Superman story.
Right.
There was just a slew of stuff that just didn't make sense. I didn't understand why Wonder Woman... As much as I loved her in the movie, I don't know why she was there.
Why is she in Metropolis?
I don't know why she was taking a plane with people. I don't know why she... You know what I mean? Like, there was no story, no
context,
nothing.
You're just supposed to accept it blindly, and just that she's there, and that you know that she's going to show up and help him. Oh, look, she's there. She's been set up.
The little crap cameos that they made of the Flash and Cyborg and Aquaman, like, you're just throwing them in there just for the heck of it, with no explanation whatsoever, and this all happens while people are sleeping. And
for these things to hold weight, like, if you... Spoilers, Superman is killed at the end of this movie by Doomsday. Surprise. For that to matter, for that image of Batman and Wonder Woman standing over his dead
body...
For
them to care, there should have been something there for a little while.
For them to go to his funeral and to mourn.
And they hated, like, the guy. And to feel like... they owed him anything. When Bruce had said that he wanted his death to mean something, or in his death he's going to, you know...
I failed him in life. I don't want to fail him in death.
The 2 seconds that you heard of him, you wanted to take him down.
Yeah, you spent half the last half of your life
picking at a scab of wanting to take him down from the beginning, and all of a sudden you feel for him. And then when you go and save... I think we need to get into that.
We're going to get into that.
The issue of what made him change his mind on taking down the Man of Steel was the most idiotic reason I would have...
I kind of liked how Lex Luthor played on Superman's emotions to get him to go and interact initially. What he wanted to do was talk to Bruce, right? And apparently Clark Kent knows that Bruce Wayne is Batman. It's never explained how.
And Bruce has no qualms about that.
No, he just doesn't even
acknowledge, like,
because he's
question.
Got a kryptonite spear. He's ready to fight. So I like that whole kidnapping of Martha Kent.
Although I have to say, as a Batman fan and a person who knows about Superman, it never occurred to me that their moms had the same name.
And you know what? That is the perfect way to make them friends. That's I want.
That was the clincher.
Yeah,
that
because when Superman is finally at Batman's mercy and about to meet his maker, and he's going to put him through with the kryptonite spear, Superman finally gets with his last breath says, "You have to save Martha, Martha." And Batman thinks it's some sick joke. Why are you saying that name? That's my mother's name. And Lois. Thank goodness for Lois being everywhere all the time with her superpowers. She gets there and says, "That's his mother's name." And Batman
and that's all it took.
We're friends.
That's all it took.
You're no longer a threat. You have a mother named Martha. We're buddies. And Batman goes on this wonderful mission to save Martha, which was one of my favorite parts, to see him in that action sequence, because that's what I was waiting for the whole movie. But then when he finally saves Martha, if Man of Steel bothered you that Superman destroyed an extremely powerful supervillain that was going to kill the entire planet, Batman goes against every code of ethics, his most important rule within the Batman canon, which is one, not to use a gun, and one, not to use it to kill somebody. He shoots somebody, or shoots a tanker of some sort, a propane tank that causes the guy to explode and brings him to his death using a gun, because the guy swears that he will kill Martha, and Batman says, "I believe you." Now, in the context of the story, in that scene, the way they created it, it was like, okay, what's he going to do? They've left him no choice. But that's the point, is that you didn't have to make him do that, because that's not what Batman does. Why did you write it that way? That's the part that irritates me, is you already know that you've done a lot with this character of Superman thus far that is not Superman. I don't care if you're saying that's a new version of Superman, it's a new 52 Superman, but Batman, you've made Superman kill, and now Batman has killed. Thank you very much for not understanding who these characters are. Yeah, the whole Martha thing was a load of crap. There wasn't another interesting way, intellectual way, for these two guys to become friends. I don't know. What else did I have here? I'm almost done, people. Don't worry. Lex and Bruce. Perhaps. I mean, it's been written in a story, really good story, by the way, of it was presenting Superman somewhat as a villain, very creatively. And it was, when Superman first shows up, why does Lex Luthor hate him so much? Well, Lex Luthor's motives are for the betterment of humanity. He has come up with ways to give medicine, to cure diseases, to bring food supplies to third world countries that are in poverty. And Superman's ruining it. Lex has dedicated his life to these endeavors. And there's a scene within the book where Batman and Bruce and Lex are talking and saying, you know what, I have to stop this guy because he's making us not capable to help each other. He's taking that away from us. That desire to be generous, that desire to want to help, he's making us seem ineffectual. Like, we can't do it. We need him. And as nice as that might seem to some people, it's going to ruin what type of person you are and what you want to do with your wealth and what I've been trying to do. I've had 10 years worth of R&D going into this project, and Superman just ruined it in a day because he can fly. He's a threat to humanity. That's a way to make Bruce and Lex know each other, and that's a way to make Bruce maybe think about
question
what's this guy really all about, because perhaps the Batman side would appreciate the fact that this guy saved the planet, but he doesn't like the fact that he killed him. So he's questioning, is he good or is he bad? Lex is telling him this guy's the worst thing to humanity, and maybe, just maybe, I'm waving my hands in the air really excited, maybe Batman, since he's been Batman for 20 years already, I don't know why they have to do that, but maybe he already knows Diana of Themyscira. And she comes and says to him...
Apparently not.
No, apparently not. He's never met her before, and she's smarter than he is. Maybe he visits her as Batman, or they communicate. And she says, you know what? This guy did what he had to do. Because Wonder Woman is a person who is a warrior who says, if you have to kill, you have to kill for the betterment of humanity. And it makes him wonder, is he on our side or not? Diana thinks he is.
Yeah, but this Batman is too lazy to do any type of homework or investigation.
His legacy is going to be killing Superman.
Yeah, that's the important thing.
And explain why we should care about Wonder Woman. You said that before. Why is she in Metropolis? We just know that there's a picture that Lex Luthor has of her that she wants back.
Is that her only reason for being there?
I guess.
She wants a photo?
Yes. And where is she taking the plane to at the end of the movie? Bermuda? Connecting flight?
I feel... Well, this is how we really feel.
Yes, no, this is how we really feel. I'm not saying there weren't any good points about the movie or that nobody should like the movie. If you like the movie and you don't really care...
Good on you.
Yeah, if you don't care about any of these things, great. But in the past, people didn't like Superman Returns because it didn't make sense. This didn't make sense. Superman Returns makes more sense than this does. Because you know what Lex Luthor's motives are and what he's trying to do to Superman. I'm not saying that was a great movie. But for a movie to have Superman and Batman and Wonder Woman, the most iconic characters within the comic book world, and that's inarguable, 1, 2, and 3, they are the ones who spearheaded a genre back in the 1940s, and not be able to come up with a clear, concise story that makes logical sense, that makes them have a relationship where they care for each other, you just make it an action flick that has a monster at the end, was very disappointing and insulting. Because you wanted to make it a Frank Miller movie, and then Zack Snyder said he needed a way to get Superman out of the way for the Justice League movie, or else he'd be the leader of the Justice League, God forbid. The leader of the Justice League is not there, because we can't have that happen.
Well, that wouldn't make too much sense.
No, so they had to kill him. And in the process, Superman put a spear through Doomsday.
But does nobody know how to throw a spear? Is that not possible?
I'm not sure. I don't know why Diana couldn't do it, but they had to kill Superman. And the reason why, like I said, the death of Superman is a powerful story is because, one, he's on the verge of marrying Lois Lane, and they have an established relationship that you're invested in. He has friends such as Batman who are going to miss him and feel disappointed that they've lost their best friend. Oh, Jimmy Olsen is there taking the heart-wrenching photo of Superman dying, but in this case his head was blown off so he couldn't do it. It mattered. In this movie they spent the 2.5 wasted hours making you hate Superman, that he's useless and causes more damage, to now all of a sudden he's a hero. Well, they have two funerals for him.
Seems like to me in this movie, it seems like all the characters were useless. They really were, and I don't think there was any substance to the story. And it's disappointing because if this is the direction that they're trying to take the Justice League in, it's not going to work out.
It's like, you know, I know you're not a fan of them, but you will understand my point. Supergirl, Flash, Arrow, they capture the essence of these characters. Yeah, they're a little silly and they can be cheesy at times, but you can get emotionally invested in the relationships that she has. You get why Barry is attached to certain people. There's a little bit of humor there. God forbid we have a little bit of humor. But they're intense stories, emotionally investing stories, but they feel like they're true to the character. They're not complete rip-offs from the comics. I'm not saying we need that. I don't want that. But they capture, you feel like, yeah, that is Supergirl. That's cool. They're actually showing this silly Flash villain, but making it matter for something. Good on them, you know? You as much as you may not like that approach, maybe you like the Netflix Daredevil approach, but hey, even those ones make you feel some emotional investment in the characters. Why does this matter? In this case, the first time you see Batman and Superman for more than 2 seconds facing off, they want to kill each other, to we're buddies. To the point where he says, I'm a friend of your son's.
Yeah.
Like, wow. Wow. So, that's my true feelings about this movie. People want to know how I feel. I'm disappointed. Was it visually spectacular? Absolutely. Were the fight sequences awesome? Absolutely. Ben Affleck was a good Batman. Unfortunately, he had bad material to work with.
I think they all had bad material to work with.
Yes.
I don't think any of their expertise or powers or anything that makes them who they are was explained or celebrated in this movie. I think it was crapped on.
No.
Like you said, Superman is not a moper, and yet that's all he... It's like he was just crying throughout the whole thing. Batman was an idiot. He didn't know what was going on and was letting people take advantage of him. Diana just decided to show up and...
But that theme music was rocking.
Theme music was hardcore. Lex Luthor was a complete zany moron.
Man.
And I couldn't take him at all. I think for a movie that I was really... I mean, I had my reservations because I didn't want to get overly excited. I found it was very just disjointed and inconsistent. And I think if they just tried to rush too much.
They tried to make it such an important movie with so much. They wanted, like, Superman died. Oh.
And regardless of the content of this film, it's obviously going to make money. Oh, there's my clip. It's obviously going to make money because it was such an anticipated movie, but I think it's going to give the people at Warner Brothers the wrong indication that they did a good job when they actually did a crappy job.
And I've felt this way for a while now, but I don't think Warner Brothers as a company really appreciate their IPs that they have. Greg Berlanti universe, the television universe, they're good. They got a handle on it. But what they do for the movies, what they want to present, straight garbage at this point. I liked Man of Steel. And the way that I felt with Captain America, First Avenger, the sequel to it made me like the first one more. I like First Avenger. I didn't love it. But now I love those movies because as a complete story, it's great.
Yeah.
This one makes me a little bit sour towards Man of Steel. I know people have already felt that way, but this one is not going to help. And I just feel really sad that they've got such a rich library of stories. Good stories. Stories that make you feel good after you read them. When you see Batman and Superman teamed up with their different ideologies and ways of approaching their goals. But that's what makes it interesting. Seeing them work together.
Well, at least the horse made it out of the rubble. That was my favorite part.
And I think the theater heard you say that. Oh, the horse!
that was my... I'm glad the horse made it and the dog made it.
And while I was wearing my Superman Batman sweater that I've been waiting 2 years to wear for this movie, you had your I don't care who dies in the movie, just as long as the dog makes it. And they heard you because they killed Superman instead of the dog. So... if you like this movie, hey, everyone's entitled to their opinion. I'm the biggest Superman, Batman fan I know. I know other people, they're bigger than me, but for myself, I'm not approaching this as the... I'm agreeing with the critics. I didn't let that sway me. I watched it and was confused.
Yeah.
As to what they were trying to do.
Yeah.
And I did not feel the emotional impact of Superman dying. Because I'm like... this is an amazing...
Oh, but wait, did he really die, though? Because the Earth shook just a little bit at the end. So, what was the point out of that? I'm not sure.
Oh, boy.
Right?
You know, you're absolutely right. There's hope. He has only a hole the size of Kansas in his chest that apparently happened because of Doomsday's bony... Oh, it's because he's carrying... Like, listen, I know the other argument. People can sit here and explain all of the plot points of what happened, but... let's be real. It was not true to the essence of the characters. I don't need them to make the Dark Knight Returns movie. They already did it as an animated film, and it was fantastic. I don't need Batman to be 20 years older than everybody. Why can't he and Superman be the same age? And while Superman shows up, there's this freak in Gotham who is on his own quest. And that's, you know, that's their meeting point. They're both peers of each other. I'm kind of sick of DC's approach to stuff. They're doing not a reboot, but this summer it's going to be called Rebirth, DC Rebirth. bringing back all of the things from the old, before New 52, the stuff that people are missing. They're going to bring it back again. You know why? Because a lot of people hated New 52. You know why? Because everything had to be Batman-esque. Batman was good. Scott Snyder's Batman was good. But Superman was stupid. He had like that stupid collar. Please. DC, get it together. That's all I'm going to say. Can we get J.J. Abrams to make one?
DC or Warner Brothers?
Warner Brothers. The people who run DC. Like, take a note from Marvel Comics. They know what they're doing. They're laughing at you guys. And I don't even think Marvel Comics right now is probably really happy. I mean, if it makes money, great. Because it's good for everybody. But to make these movies crap... Yeah, but I
think
that's
going to be misleading. Because it's going to make these people think that they're on the right track. And they're not.
They're
not telling a story that is right. And...
this is the kind of stuff that I think when people are worried about the bubble of comic book movies suddenly, like, going away where people are sick of them, I think this is the type of stuff that will do it. Movies that are not... like, Captain America was fantastic. Guardians of the Galaxy was fantastic. And I'm not saying they've got it... they don't have to be these religious commentaries of God and man. It doesn't have to be. It just has to be a good story. Timely stories. You want to make it contemporary and something that people can relate to? Watch a Marvel movie. But you know what they do that's great? They capture the essence of that character that they're telling the story for. Just saying. What would you give it out of 10, Daf J? I know initially you were pretty generous.
I don't know. I want a 5.
I'll give it a 5.
Like I said, I like the first half of the movie. I found that there was a little bit more... I found that they were kind of taking their time with it. I mean, like I said, although it's repetitive and whatever. I don't know what the word I'm looking for is now, but I like the fact that they took their time explaining Batman's story and... I thought that was a cue of where they were going to take it, where they were going to take their time and introduce relationships and give you a foundation and you know, something to be able to analyze and break down. And they just, all of a sudden, it's like, oh, we're running out of time. Let's just do everything all at once. Yeah. That's why I like the Nolan universe of the Nolan's Batman, is because when he did his story, there were so many characters, but... you didn't even realize how many he introduced. For example, in The Batman Begins, there was idea, or you're introduced to Ra's al Ghul, you know he's going to be a villain. And you think that he's the only one that's up against Batman, but then there's Scarecrow, and then there's Carmine Falcone, and then there's even Joe Chill. He was essentially a villain, too. He's the one that started this whole mess when he took out Martha and Thomas Wayne.
Right.
So, but it was done in such a organically, and there was such a flow that you didn't even realize until after. You're like, holy cow, there was four villains in this one
even
movie.
Even Zaz was in that movie.
Zaz was in it. That's right. Yeah. So, but... you know, I guess Nolan, he took his time. He made a trilogy out of it. I don't know what their rush was this time around.
But even in the Batman Dark Knight, to go along with those Nolan movies, Two-Face wasn't in the movie for a long time. Like, that's a major villain. I think they may have killed him off too quick. But you cared about Harvey Dent.
Mm-hmm.
There was
mm-hmm.
the buildup of Harvey Dent that made it mean something a little bit more. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I just felt like... you're right. They wanted all of these things to be put in there, and I almost feel like, I don't know, from your perspective, I was saying before about Warner Brothers, do you think this was just Warner Brothers' way of throwing everything and literally the sink? Because I don't know if you remember that portion where Batman uses the sink on Superman to knock him out. Was this just them doing all of that, you think, to catch up to Marvel?
Quite possibly, and if that's what they... if that was their goal, they failed. They shouldn't have done that.
So, as a fan of Batman, do you want this movie now? This sounds really stupid to say, but do you hope that this movie kind of gets to the money level of, like, it stopped at 500 million and they're reconsidering how they're making this, or do you want it to do well? Because it's going to make a billion dollars.
No, I want it to not make a... I don't want it to do anything so that then they can just realize that they need to start over and need to start from scratch, or which is a shame because I really think that the Batman that was portrayed in this movie was pretty cool. I liked the Wonder Woman. I liked the main characters. I really did. And now I feel like it's all hit the fan and it has nowhere to go.
How did you feel seeing that they're moving forward now? April 11th, they're making Justice League. How did you feel about the direction they're taking those movies?
It's terrible. I don't like the little 30-second cameos that they did for each one of these characters. And then for Batman to feel invested in these people without having done his homework. If maybe he has, but it wasn't explained in the movie. And all of a sudden, he's a team player. He's not. He's not. He's very skeptical about everyone. And all of a sudden, he wants Wonder Woman to help him and to hunt these down. And they're going to be a part of the team. Like, no. That's no. True. What Batman, if these metahumans are bad? But we don't know that. But for some reason, in his dream, everything is clear. It was not... The lack of explanation is very disappointing.
Yeah, you're right.
It doesn't pay... Like I said, it doesn't... pay homage to the character that we know of. He's not a hasty character. He doesn't just go on emotion. He does his homework and he suspects everybody. He double checks and triple checks everyone's background before he makes any move. But he's willing all of a sudden to just bring these people in and make a team.
He's even skeptical. The only person he's not skeptical of is Alfred.
Is Alfred.
Even his own people that he's trained, he's like, yeah, you're not coming on this mission. You're staying home. Why? Because I don't need distraction.
I think the part of this movie that kind of threw me, and it's because from what I remember, because it's been 3 days now, the part of the movie that started throwing me was when he's at this gala or a fundraiser or whatever, a Lex party, and he's there trying to, I guess, use one of his devices to get some information. And turns out Wonder Woman is at the same event, and she beats him to it by taking his device and right from under him, pulling the rug right from under him. And yeah, that part right there of the movie, I think, was the start of my, this is not where I thought it was going to go. This is very, it was a bit of a slap in the face and an insult to the character that I know.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? Because you're right. Because when you think of Batman, if he's been outsmarted, right, whenever when someone gets the drop on him, true to character, and this isn't saying, oh, they should have followed this comic book story, but as Batman, he would have went to wherever Diana Prince is staying and been like, can I get my device back? Yeah. You stole something from Wayne. He wants it back.
Yeah.
Like, that would have been like, that's Batman. You know what I mean?
What part of the movie was it for you that you're like, yeah, I don't know about this?
I think I started to realize, I'm like, once I saw the first Batmobile scene, which I thought was cool, but I'm like, he's really shooting a lot of bullets. And then when I said, okay, now he's going to run into Superman, this is the scene where he's going to run into Superman, I was disappointed at the fact that it was like a very quick cameo for the two of them to just interact for a second. And I'm like, okay. Too much of this movie has gone by without them being who they are,
mm-hmm.
or even speaking to each other to build up some sort of legitimate animosity. But when they had the fight and it was the whole Martha thing, I'm like, wow, this story's going
to
get really...
That was close to the end. So were you still having some high hopes for this movie, or were you...
Yeah, like I said, I went into this, I wanted to be really positive. I didn't want the critics... And I'm happy you didn't read any critique.
No, I went in blind, and I did that on purpose.
Good for you, because I'm happy that... I hope I didn't ruin your experience, but I think you're pretty savvy enough to know, like, that's not Batman. That's not my dude.
Yeah.
But knowing the negative response, I'm like, they're just hating. I'm going to love this because it looks like I was playing with my toys, taking photos of them, right? So I think that was the part where I'm like, they've tried to do too much and it didn't have, they're missing the point of why that would be an important scene. I don't know. I just like seeing Bruce and Clark have a relationship.
Yeah, and that's what makes their dynamic so special. Because there's something there. Yeah. They call each other Bruce and Clark. Yeah. They know each other's weaknesses and
they vouch for each other.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And that's why the Civil War movie, I don't know about you, but I'm pretty sure you're pretty as excited as I am, is that Tony and Steve, they've got a rapport established. And you know their philosophical differences. So now that it's coming to a head, it's not like they haven't had some sort of team experience to be like, oh, it's all coming to a head now. This is just like, let's get them to fight because people are going to come to the theater to get them to fight. But it's got to mean something.
Well, of course. And you know what? I get it. Like, in the title, there's a V in it. So, yeah, they have to fight. Like, that's fun. But give them something to fight about. Like, something that holds weight. Something, you know, like, people that care about each other fight. People that care about something fight. There's something that drives them to that emotion. And I feel like they were just pulling at strings in this movie, and it wasn't natural.
Yeah, they tried to make it be mean more than what I think the story delivered. For me, some people are loving it. They're thinking, some people said it's the best superhero movie I've ever seen.
They're wrong.
And
you're wrong.
I want it to be, but I agree they're wrong. I feel like this was one of my biggest disappointments. Because
it was a letdown. And we're venting and we're talking.
We'll probably go watch it again.
Well, that's the thing. Like you've said before, we understand that this is just, it's fictitious, and you know it's an escape. But it's like taking something that you know is true, and then someone altering its origin and then giving a different perception. It's kind of like, I don't know, it's probably gonna come off too heavy, but it's like taking an actual event in the Bible and then making like making it not true,
you know. No, I totally get what you're saying. Like, you just want, here's the character, this is what they're known for, this is what makes their story powerful. And it's like, you want to tell a story about, like you said, someone from the Bible, and you know, you tell a story about Jonah, but now he comes out and he's missing limbs, because that would have been cool.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
Like,
yeah.
Just for
Thank
the sake
you for
of...
saving my thought, because I was just like, where am I taking this? People are going to think I'm taking it too far, but like I said, taking something that you know is, and someone else kind of just dismantling it.
Yeah.
Right in front of you, and you can't do anything about it.
Yeah, I think maybe we both do, or we've been spoiled by Marvel movies that tell a story where the characters,
and they're patient with their stories.
Yeah, like even something as silly as Guardians of the Galaxy, you get a little bit of each of those characters to understand their investment in whatever it is they're going after. You know why Drax wants to get his hands on Ronan. You know why Gamora, her issues with Thanos, and she knows the destruction that's coming. Star-Lord, him being a 15-year-old boy in a 30-year-old body. Like, you get what each of their things are without trying to make it overly heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And you have fun. You leave like, man, that was a fun time.
Yeah.
But the story was still powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this one, where it was being like shoved down your throat, like, look at how serious we take it and what we're making you think of, and all of the God allegories and all of these things, where at the end it's just like, that guy is just trying to kill that guy. Now he's at his funeral. Like, what are you trying to tell me here?
Yeah.
I don't know. You want to watch it again? It's hard not to see Batman and Superman, though, on the screen.
You know what? To be honest, I don't.
Powerful statement from
DFJ. Yeah, and that means a lot coming from me. I mean, when it comes out on Blu-ray or DVD or whatever it'll come out on, I'll probably get it so I can watch the first half hour or so, and then...
I think maybe...
It's so disheartening. It's just so disheartening. And like I said, I know it's fake and stuff, but it's like this was their chance, and I feel like they missed the mark.
Yeah, I think so too. And I'm scared of how they're going to go forward.
Exactly. Like, if this is how they're starting, then the hopes of the Justice League and or individual stories of these other characters, I mean, if you can't get the two main guys right, the obscure characters, or not obscure, but, I mean, they're not, I don't think they'll be able to handle it.
Yeah, I don't think Warner Brothers has a really good, maybe I'm wrong, I just don't think they got a good brain trust that are, like, Green Lantern was a hot mess,
mm-hmm.
and that they didn't even proceed with that, because it was like, ugh, what did we do?
Mm-hmm.
Man of Steel was divisive. I thought it was good. I liked it. I understand people's problems with it, but... Other than the Nolan Batmans, and looking back now, I even watched the Nolan Batmans and saying, wow, they've really missed the mark of what this could have been. Because these two movies were so excellent.
Mm-hmm.
But they're like, no, this is just Batman. No other people can exist. And Marvel was like, why aren't they going to connect them?
Mm-hmm.
When they made Iron Man, they already knew, like, let's set this up so that people get excited for the next movie we're making.
Yeah.
And I just, because they were... setting pieces.
Maybe because Nolan knew that if he left it open for the pickings, it was gonna hit the fan. Who knows? Maybe he put a protective layer or fence around his baby because it was gonna go for the pickings. I don't know.
True. No, you're right.
It's sad because you see the potential, but then it's like, well, this is what DC or Warner Brothers or whoever's behind this is doing to these characters before they dismantle what I've made. I'm not going to give anyone the chance to do that. Who knows?
No, you're right. I understand his creative, the creative ownership he wanted on Batman to not have it be messed with. But at the same time, Warner Brothers had to realize, like, people obviously love Batman. Can we build a universe around this? Because the way movies are being made now, everybody wants to have their universe. There's a Jurassic Park universe. There's an Alien universe. There's a Star Wars. You know, everybody wants that. So for DC to have missed the boat when the Nolan Batmans were so well made to now they're like Transformers movies, kind of like...
Yeah, yeah. That actually crossed my mind when I did see this Batman's Batmobile. I was kind of like, I was waiting for it to just turn up into something. I was kind of, yeah, anyway.
Yeah, we've gone on for a bit. We've sat on our soapbox and said what we got to say. Listen, I hope everybody else enjoyed it. If you did, I hope we didn't ruin it for you. And if we did help you see that it was not good. Whatever. I don't care. I don't feel bad. If you guys want to respond to this episode, email us at caveofsolitude@outlook.com or visit us at caveofsolitude.com. Subscribe to the show on iTunes. Leave us a review of what you guys think of it. It definitely helps get the show out there more. And we thank you guys for listening. Thank you, Daf J, for coming back to the cave. I've been solo for the last few episodes and we've missed you here. So once again, thank you guys for listening and looking forward to Civil War.
Looking forward to some serious Civil War.
Are we gonna VIP?
Oh yeah.
Well,
no other way to do it.
No, there isn't. No. What did you think of those seats? Were they good?
We need to go one level up.
One okay, I'll try.
Maybe D or E? It wasn't bad. It was not bad at all. It was great seats. But
trailers. What about the trailers that we saw before we forget?
Okay, I want to see the Ice Queen versus the Eagle Queen, the gold statue. I don't know what this... It's called a Huntsman something. And Thor is in it.
It's like Snow White's
the lady, moms. The Devil Wears Prada girl is in it. Emily Blunt, she's the Ice Queen. But it looks like a really cool story. I'm really looking forward to that. I never thought I would. I'm not into those kind of mystical, magical, fantasy or fairy tale stories. But mm-hmm. this one looks really cool.
Good action.
Yeah, it looks really good.
How about Ninja Turtles?
No.
Bebop and Rocksteady.
I saw Bebop and Rocksteady, and then I just said maybe not.
No. X-Men Age of Apocalypse. I thought that was good.
Very cool. That I'm looking forward to.
So that's coming out next, I think. Age of Apocalypse.
After Civil War.
I'm not sure. I gotta check. But there's gonna be a lot. Like, there's gonna be Civil War, Age of Apocalypse, Suicide Squad. I'm not sure about Suicide Squad anymore. I was really excited for it. I think it's gonna be different. They said it's got a different take.
Tone?
Yeah, they're different movies. Wonder Woman's gonna be a different movie. Suicide Squad's gonna be a different
Wonder
movie.
Woman?
Wonder Woman's finished. They're finished making Wonder Woman. That's coming out next 2017.
Is it this Wonder Woman? The one she's playing the same one?
Yes.
Is that why she only said two words in this movie and was probably in it in a total of 20 minutes?
Yes. And the movie they're making for Wonder Woman will take place in the 1920s or during World War I. That's why they kept showing that picture of her back then. That's when the movie will be taking place.
That sounds interesting.
Sounds interesting.
Kind of like a winter, not a winter Captain soldier, Captain America.
Yeah, with the shield.
Oh, come on, DC. Get it together.
Oh, I know. Well, you can always watch Flash with me. Thank you guys for listening.
Just shaking my head.
Top J just shaking her head with her, rubbing her temples.
It's not like they don't have scripts out there with, you know what, shut it down. I'm done. Drop the mic.